Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey you, welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
I'm wife.
And together we're reading the Bible.
Starting with Genesis and eventually ending with Revelations, we're working through every book and offering our atheist 2 cents.
Or shekels.
Yeah, those. We're asking questions and pointing out all the nonsense.
We aren't academics or scholars.
Nope. In fact, when it comes to religion, we really don't know anything at all.
What we've learned so far is that God's a dick.
Oh, he really is, isn't he? If you're interested in how we reached this startling conclusion, maybe start from episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in anywhere. It's all good.
Yep.
Hey wife, did you know that Anchor is sponsoring our show?
Really? Don't we use Anchor to distribute our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, and we are on just about every other platform available as well, thanks to them.
Why do we use Anchor as our podcasting service?
Well, they make editing and distributing our show a breeze.
What if one of our listeners wants to start their own podcast?
Then they should head over to anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
Awesome! You guys should go do that right now! Husband!
Wife!
Happy Q&A Saturday!
Yeah, I totally forgot. I was like, wait, oh, Q&A?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was ready when you came in. I had it already done.
You did good this week.
I did good this week, right?
Yeah, yeah, except the computer did bad. You did good.
I know. You can't have everything.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, sorry. There it is. So, we're doing our Q&A today.
Yeah, and today we are going to answer questions about the Lord of Heaven's Armies.
Okay.
And Dagon.
Oh, Dagon it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this.
All righty. Okay, let's start with the Lord of Heaven's Armies.
Okay.
Just because I didn't have a lot about it, and it's boring and stupid.
Well, and if I can throw in something here, it seemed like in the last book we were reading, there was a Lord of Heaven's Army when they were, like, around Jericho.
No.
That was something different?
No, yeah.
Okay.
In the book of 1 Samuel is the first time that we see mention of Lord of Heaven's Army.
Oh, okay.
And I only know that because I was researching it, and,
The
research said, no, that's the first time hear about it.
Okay, all right.
And it occurred the first time when Hannah was appealing to God. She was like wanting a baby, remember?
Right, yeah.
And it's supposed to point out to apologists and readers who are like fans that she's not appealing to a sweet and nice God, but to a commander.
And, got it.
So this was like a spiritual warfare thing.
This dude's in charge.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She was
large,
like,
and in charge.
You are a military leader. I need a baby real bad.
Yeah. And I know this isn't your shtick, but, you know, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was challenging God to do it.
Got it.
And reminding him of, again, this is from an apologist perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reminding him, God, of his superiority over all things.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, okay. Hold on. Hold the fuck on. Reminding him of his superiority. You have to remind God that he
Remember how, like, you're in charge and powerful and magic and whatever?
Do you think you ever had to remind Zeus about his superiority? He's on a fucking mountain with a lightning bolt.
I'm just a short, squat woman who is only in charge of minor children.
Yeah.
And you never have to remind me that I'm in charge of them because that is literally my job.
We've talked about it before, but this God of the Bible has like the smallest fucking ego in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He
has a little dick.
If he had a truck, he'd have truck nuts for sure.
He would totally like, have 100%. Truck nuts. Yeah. So again, this is from an apologist perspective.
Yeah.
She was reminding God that he's superior over everything, and she was declaring her faith in his power to open her womb.
Okay.
So she was telling him, I have faith that you can do this, so therefore you have to do this.
Okay.
Right? Like,
it's weird how...
an odd bargaining.
Yeah. Well, and I take exception to the fact that as we've gone further along in the Bible, people have started kind of half demanding things from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, if this was earlier in the Bible, you're fucking done.
You would be smote as fuck.
Now, he's
I need a shirt that says smote AF on it.
There you go.
Yep.
He's still a fucking asshole.
Right.
But he's not killing people the same way he killed them earlier on.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get mad about things as he used to, it seems like, which I'm not trying to say he's getting nicer.
No.
I think he's just getting lazy.
No, I don't think... honestly, that he's getting lazy. I think that he never existed in the first place.
Yeah, no shit.
Right,
yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, as these books progress, it's like we're seeing more and more people, and so as you know, the populations explode. They're seeing less involvement.
It's
almost like they realize somewhere inside of them that either he's not there or he's super distant.
Got it.
And more of the clockwork God that you see in like the 1700s and 1800s.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
the hands off way far away distant over there God.
Right.
So it's interesting that just in the way these stories are told, you're seeing the way that these gods are changing based on the populations and what they're going through at the time.
Right.
So that's all I had on that.
Okay.
It is mentioned more throughout the Bible after this.
Okay.
But this is the first time that he's changed from an all-powerful, loving God, but...
yeah, he wasn't that loving.
But he's also a vengeful God and all that.
Yeah.
And now, here, we're seeing, no, he's a distant God, but a very militaristic one.
Got it.
It's supposed to be the same guy.
It makes sense as a society grows up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have more conflict with neighboring states, neighboring people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so their God would, you know, since it's made up, would ultimately take on the characteristics of their society.
Their perception of God changes, and therefore it's a different God.
Right, exactly.
And it is.
Yeah,
it's a completely different God in this book than it was in the first five.
I mean, let's be honest. The God of today is 100% different than the God of the Bronze Age.
Of course.
Because people want him to be something different.
Exactly.
So, and it is something people make up. So it's whatever they want.
Exactly.
I mean, right now he serves donuts, you know? And I'm like,
you're an idiot.
What?
He doesn't serve donuts.
I beg to differ.
Churches serve donuts.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it for the God of army, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm real excited about Dagon, though.
Yeah. Dagon it.
Dagon it.
Uh huh.
So, his name is alternatively spelled as D-A-G-A-N or D-A-G-O-N.
Okay.
And I think I've been mispronouncing it. I think it's Dagon.
Dagon. Okay.
Or even Dagon.
I kind of like Dagon. Dagon better.
Yeah.
It's like, it almost sounds more godlike, you know?
Yeah,
like it's,
Dagon.
Dagon is...
Dagon it.
Yeah, I know, right.
I know. Well, Dagon sounds like the name of a character in a book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Which I might steal.
Right.
You know, I'm Dagon, a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who the fuck knows who Dagon is, you know?
Well,
I mean, our listeners will after today.
Yeah, we don't know today, but apparently back then in Mesopotamia.
Big deal, huh?
He was a big fucking deal. He was super popular.
Wow.
He was a kingmaker.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's amazing that, like, peons like
us. So we could have
been,
like, instead of Christianity, we could have been doing, like, Daganist, whatever, you know.
Daganist.
Yeah, we could have been Daganists.
Yeah, let's be Daganists.
Yeah, we should be Daganists.
Because he's not, like, a bad guy.
Really?
Yeah. He was the national god of the Philistines with temples at Ashdod and Gaza.
Okay.
Which we are familiar with from what we just read.
Sure.
But there's no extra biblical evidence confirming this. So.
Okay.
It's only in the Bible that we see this.
So there's no historical evidence of that.
Right.
What you're saying?
Right. Well, okay. he was celebrated in different areas. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to get into some of the different areas, but only in the Bible is Ashdod and Gaza one of those areas.
Got it. Okay. Sure.
But he was celebrated in as the West Semitic god of crop fertility, which keep that in mind, and I'll get to
West
you in
Semitic,
a minute.
Doesn't that indicate that would part of Israel or okay, and Judaism and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's what's so interesting about
okay.
this.
Okay. Yeah, that I mean
And
definitely
keep in mind crop fertility, because we're going to talk about that in just a second. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
He was worshipped in ancient Syria across the middle of the Euphrates and extensively throughout the Middle East.
Damn. That's like right in the heart of, you know, Godland.
Everything that we're reading about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it was such a big deal.
Right.
That the statue that would explain why they put the Ark of the Covenant in a temple of Dagon.
Right.
Like, that was our main
This would be like
question.
If something happened in a Muslim temple because they put something in there.
Right.
Because, like, it's the competing religion of
Deities.
The time or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it makes perfect sense. They were like, your God is nothing. Like, Dagon is who we celebrate all over the fucking place here.
Yeah.
And so it makes perfect sense. They put that ark in there and were shocked as fuck when the statue of Dagon fell over.
Right.
Because.
Yeah. Dagon I know I was shocked as fuck.
it was shocking.
Totally.
Shocking. So in settlements situated in the upper Euphrates area, he was regarded as the father of gods. So that's what I mean. He was a big fucking deal.
Wow.
Equivalent to like El and
so
Yahweh.
So like this could almost be like Yahweh is like usurping the father of gods to take his place.
Yes.
Wow.
Like think of Betamax and VHS.
Right.
Like seriously, like one is superior.
Right.
Betamax. Yeah. But today we only know about VHS.
Right.
And if you were to ask kids,
marketing was better.
They don't fucking know about either.
Right.
But yeah, that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
Is they already had this big god daddy in place.
Huh.
Yeah. And he wasn't a bad guy from what I understand.
Okay.
Again, father of gods. He was also known as Lord of the Land. He was a god of prosperity, and he was a source of royal legitimacy. Remember I said
kingmaker, right, yeah.
So when we get into these future books that, or even the one we're reading right now, Dagon is still going to be a prominent figure.
Interesting.
There are kings past where we're at throughout the Bronze Age.
Yeah.
That worshipped him and celebrated him and had festivals and festivals in his name. And during certain festivals, Dagon was the most celebrated god. He received the most sacrifices and
right.
Not like kids and stuff, but like
sure.
like and offerings.
Yeah, like the same things God yeah. gets.
Yeah.
The, you know, Yahweh
yeah.
gets.
He got the most
right.
during that time period.
Crazy.
So my mind is blown away that we never heard of this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many gods that have existed in human history.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting when you start, like, we talked about this before. You can go down a rabbit hole with gods.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know?
And right now, like, we can even go down a rabbit hole just with the gods that are in the Bible, for God's sakes.
I know,
sakes.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really cool to me. Like,
it's super cool to me because this is the area that we're reading about right now.
Right.
You know?
The funny thing is that you never, like, in all my times talking to Christians I've never run across them mentioning
other gods,
let alone naming them, which right. they are named in the Bible.
They are specifically named.
Why aren't they, like, why isn't that if you have nothing to hide and your God is a true God, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in there to hide for you, right? It all means yeah. something and there's a reason for
it's
it.
It's all there in the book.
But if you do have something to hide, then that's when you start hiding these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I call bullshit on religion.
Right.
Not just that. I mean, it doesn't feel right to me either. But, you know, like,
yeah.
there's lots of other reasons, too.
Sure.
But anyway, if you truly believed, you wouldn't have a problem answering for your God.
I mean, that's the same thing that I say to people that are Christians that are like, oh, don't read Harry Potter. It's evil. And I'm just like, your faith is that weak?
Right.
Like, for reals?
Well, and the problem that I run into with people, like, when they say, well, I will answer for my God. Okay, yeah, but you won't answer it directly. You go roundabout and say, well, that's not what he is anymore.
So then
or
you
that's,
don't,
you know, this,
you don't
that, or the other. And it's like,
or
well,
it's God's plan. We're not meant to understand.
No, let's just talk that's about exactly, what I'm asking about.
That's exactly not answering for your God.
Right,
then.
Yeah.
So basically, just admit you don't want to answer the question. You just want to be left alone to worship as you please.
Well, and let's be honest. If you talk to somebody who is actually invested in learning about the Bible, they probably could talk about these things
mm-hmm.
in an intelligent way. Mm-hmm. I probably still wouldn't agree.
Sure.
But they would have something to say about it.
Right.
And
right.
that's why I don't respect the fly-by-night apologists on the internet, because mm-hmm. they don't know anything about the Bible they're trying to protect. And I'm like, well, at least I'm trying to fucking learn it.
Right.
You know?
And the first thing they say is, like, you're reading it with an agenda. And I'm like, but
you're not reading it at all.
I'm like, you aren't reading it at all. And if you are reading it, you are certainly also reading it with an agenda.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Just that your agenda is different from mine.
Right. Yeah.
But you're not just like, okay, open my heart and mind and then reading whatever comes at you. You're only reading what's assigned and skipping around and taking somebody else's interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's not cool.
Oh, and I've found that there are names. I'd have to look them up because I've been called them, but like they have names for people like us that when we keep questioning them and they get riled up because they can't answer the question,
mm-hmm.
they call us like the fallen or something like that. Like, I mean, there's like different things they call us. They're like, well, you are just beyond help because
right.
you like what? I'm beyond help because I keep asking you the fucking questions you won't answer.
Yeah.
That's not beyond help. That means you don't have a fucking answer, dude.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you're thinking
like,
here, but
you
that's
took the job.
Problem.
You took the fucking job. You took it upon yourself to quote unquote witness to me and to teach me. And the fact that you don't have a good answer except for, well, I guess you're going to burn in hell because you're fucked because I don't have an answer. That's a you problem,
well,
dude.
You know I'll fight with somebody on Twitter for a little bit, right?
Yes,
but
do I
ever go looking for the fight?
I mean, occasionally.
Not much anymore.
Not anymore. And I think it's because I point out when
Yeah.
The power is definitely...
It's, I mean, yeah.
Intoxicating, and yes.
When your Twitter followers gets up to a certain point, it's
pure
you
power
know,
corrupts.
It's fun sometimes.
What is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I'm just
like
being
that.
Honest here, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
so that was a bad question that you asked me, though.
Question.
I apologize that I didn't take your side, husband, on that one.
But I don't seek them out anymore.
Right.
Not really. Like
right.
I might quote tweet somebody that's big now. Just
mm-hmm.
to make a point, but that's more of a feed thing
sure.
to me than anything else.
Sure.
I don't go looking for like middle fight. Road of, yeah, I don't go looking for a fight.
Yeah.
I go looking for comments on there that I can comment on, but the fight still comes to me occasionally.
Yeah.
Or actually quite a bit, but you know.
Well, let me get back on track with
this. Sorry.
No, no problem. I mean, we could talk about this all night, right? Honestly. Yeah. So, okay, we're still talking about Dagon.
Okay, Dagon.
Okay,
yeah.
And don't forget, I said that he's a kingmaker and...
Crops. Yeah.
Okay. So, the reason that he was known as a crop king, or a crop god, not king, crop god, is that the word in Hebrew and Ugaritic, you would have fucked that all up, too. The word that's used for his name, like how it's spelled out in all those weird symbols and letters and stuff, is a common noun for grain, guaranteeing abundant harvests of grain. However,
interesting.
Having said that,
yeah,
he was not actually an agricultural god per se.
Uh-huh.
It was rather the source of prosperity in general, which was based on agriculture. Which was based on grain.
Okay.
So it was more like the luck cat, the Chinese luck cat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's more like that, where it's more about the hope that the crop is good so I can have lots of riches.
Right.
Not about the grain itself.
Got it.
But it's a small point, but it's small for us because we aren't in agriculture, nor are we religious.
Right.
But
I gotcha.
It just semantics, I think, honestly.
But
it is still. He was also the legendary inventor of the plow.
Really?
I mean,
that's very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I picked that up and I was like, oh, was he?
So like, it wasn't a person or a group of people.
John.
It was a god.
John Deere.
The plow was invented by a god.
John Deere begs to differ. There's also like some people that early on, like researchers, thought maybe he was a weather god because the two, like agriculture and weather, kind of go together. But also more than that, his wife, which I'll get into her in a minute, she's a whole other ball of wax.
Okay.
Her name. Was synonymous with another god, or not synonymous, they weren't the same. Her name is similar enough to another goddess that they confused the two of them a lot. And her, the other one, not Dagon's wife, but this other girl with a similar name to his wife, she was married to a weather god.
Oh, okay.
So they thought for 2 seconds...
Well, and there is a lot of interconnectedness between gods and stories in the ancient world. So, I mean,
absolutely. So it's understandable.
Right.
But for like 2 hot seconds, they thought he was a weather god, but not so much anymore. Researchers are like, that doesn't stick.
Right.
Other titles that he bore was Lord of Offspring, Lord of the Offspring. He was, you know, the father of all, right? So he was a creator figure.
Okay.
He could be invoked as a divine witness of oaths. That makes sense. Like God, as we know today, you know, as God is my witness.
Right.
Yeah. As Yahweh is my witness. As Dagon is my witness.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
His attributes, meaning the symbols that he carried with him.
Yeah.
Were a chariot and a mace.
Okay. So it was
very Greek.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Like very Greek and Roman God.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean. The fact that he was the father of gods almost kind of lends that he might have been a offshoot of like the whole Zeus and kind of story.
He was an earlier Zeus.
Or something like
Zeus
that.
Zeus would have been an offshoot of him.
But I mean like
it, as was Yahweh, clearly.
Sure. Yeah.
So final word on him himself, in some cults of Dagon, so like they didn't all worship the same, clearly.
Right.
But in some of the cults in that area, he was considered the father of Baal.
Oh,
so, you know, there's that guy again, right?
Yeah, Baal.
Yeah. So his consort, Shalash.
Shalash, huh?
Or Shalash. I'm not sure.
Okay.
The one that had a similar name to her was Shelah.
Okay.
Okay. And Shelah was the one that had the
weather god
husband.
Yeah.
But Shalash or Shalash was a Syrian goddess known variously as Lady of Gold, Mistress Who Amazes the World, and Lady Diadem of Lapis Lazuli, which is the blue stone.
Right. Yeah.
So, she's pretty cool.
Represented like beauty and stuff like that, apparently. Or
probably, whatever. Probably.
Or she prosperity, was, even maybe.
Maybe. She was also worshipped as part of a mourning, like grieving Got ceremony
yeah.
in some regions, which led to some researchers believing that Dagon might have been an underworld god, although still some researchers today are like, probably not so much.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, who are these people? But they were very, Dagon himself was very prominent. We're going to read more about him. There are some kings coming up, I hope, that are mentioned in the Bible, but they're definitely mentioned in history.
Yeah.
In the Bronze Age, in actual history, who worshipped him. And
interesting.
He was figured very prominently in their ceremonies that when they got crowned.
Really cool. Yeah. I mean, it's oh, I don't know. I was going to say something. Now I completely forget. But anyway, no. It's all right. I just was commenting that it's really fun learning things about the Bible from this angle. Like we're kind of interested in these weird offshoot things, like the other gods, and like because we know at some level that the Bible and other religions and all kinds of stuff is based on all these other stories that happened, you know, prior to the Bible or same time as the Bible or whatever, they all kind of intermix and mingle, right?
Right.
And so the part that interests me about the Bible is A, learning more about it, and B, these side stories that creep in here and they're like, wait, where did that come from?
Yeah,
what the fuck is that?
They give us a eye view into history that we wouldn't study otherwise.
Yeah, definitely.
That has nothing to do with the Bible insofar as except that the Bible story is supposed to have occurred at the same time as these other things.
No, I think much like any other subject, I think that I could really enjoy us. Like if I went to school again to, you know, learn about religion, if I had the right teachers, I think it could be really fun and interesting.
Well, I have a small story to tell you about that.
Yeah.
Actually, two small stories to tell you about that. One, I just told you the podiatrist story.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is how much I love learning, and I'm such a fucking nerd research dork, okay?
All right.
When I was in, like, seventh grade, we had to take this career finders test, and after that, we had to pick a field of basically what do you want to be when you grow up, and then we had to contact a professional in that field and go interview them.
Right.
And find out, you know, all the things like how much it would cost to go to college, what kind of degree you would need, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
I, in seventh grade, panicked because I'm, you know, 46 and still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
You want to be a podcaster?
Well, yeah, I know that now. But like in seventh grade, I was filled with dread.
Right.
Because I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I wanted to be an astronaut. By seventh grade, I knew that that was very unlikely to ever come to pass.
Right.
So, and that was brought on because of the Challenger incident, which most people turned away from space. And I was like, it's more important now than ever.
Right. But it did put the whole thing on hold for quite a few years.
It did. It did. And so, like I said, I was panicked.
Right.
So I picked what I thought at the time was the most ridiculous thing possible just to be a smartass, which in my seventh grade mind was a podiatrist.
Got it.
I contacted a podiatrist and goddamned if it didn't just interest the shit out of me because it was interesting talking to somebody, an expert in her field, interviewing her and learning.
Sure.
Okay, my second one is when I was going to college, I took a fucking class in economics, the most boring topic ever. Goddamned if I didn't find myself coming home studying it and being like, this is interesting. I wonder if I could be an economist.
Well, I really enjoy a podcast that, like, Freakonomics podcast in the books. Like, it can be very interesting. I think that anything.
I know now I just like learning.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I was getting ready to say is that I think that what you find out, especially if you are the type that is a lifelong learner, is that if you just keep being curious, there is plenty to pique your interest. And, a lot of people view learning as a boring, dumb thing, right?
Right, right.
But you don't have to learn that way. That's the secret of life. You don't have to learn that way.
Yeah.
You can learn however you want to. It's your choice.
And
just do it.
you know, people talk trash about the internet and how horrible it's been, but God bless the internet, so to speak.
I mean,
I am so grateful that I can just plug anything in.
Yeah, I mean, you could go listen to Joel Osteen, or you can come here.
Oh, my God. If you are listening to both Joel Osteen and us, I have questions.
I'm just saying, there's a fun way to learn and sure. Not a fun way to learn.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right.
All right, I think we're just going on now because we want to.
We're being silly now. Yeah. All right, tomorrow is Sunday, and we will be doing our replay for the week. And then on Monday, we will be continuing with 1 Samuel. I believe we'll be on chapter 6.
That is correct. We will see you guys then.
All right, bye. Husband.
Yes, wife?
Remember how you told me we're on Patreon now?
Yeah, why?
Because we're starting something new for Patreon members only. Every couple of weeks, we'll cover something in the news, a current event, or something we feel strongly needs to be discussed. And only subscribers get to hear our discussion.
That's right. It's all for our Patreon members as a thank you for their support. Join now for as little as $2 a month to get all of our extra content. Go to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Do it now. Husband, it's the end.
It is indeed, wife.
Tell the people where they can contact us.
Well, they can get a hold of us via our email, which is sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. We have Twitter @sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh, why do you know? Why do you keep doing that? Ugh. All right, we have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a Pinterest page. But if you really want to get our attention, Twitter's where it's at.
Twitter is where you're at.
Yeah.
And they should also review, like, and subscribe, yeah?
Definitely. Apple Podcasts reviews help us out tremendously. And we also can use your support on Patreon, which is a great place to support us as well. That would be at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.